Into sports.
20 yards out, Urs to shoot, don't shoot! Oh, what a goal for Fabinho! Wow!
Then get into the all-new OTB Sports app.
I think when he apologises to me, I probably will say hello to him, yeah.
No. Videos, sports news, live scores, interviews.
If Fabregas is going to come up to me in the street and give me some of the mouth that he would have given me on a football pitch, what would he do? He'd get a slap.
Plus, exclusive content on the OTB Podcast Network. The biggest names in sports, ready when you are. Search OTB Sports on your app store and download it now.
The OTB Podcast Network.
Rugby on Off the Ball.
With Vodafone, official sponsors of the Irish rugby team. Team of us, everyone in.
We kick things off with the rugby this weekend. Our live game is going to be tomorrow evening. It is Exeter, the reigning Gallagher Premier champions and also the champions of Europe, up against recently re-crowned Pro 14 champions Leinster. Johnny will be joining Neil Tracy on commentary tomorrow. Neil Tracy is with us now to look forward to the big game and the rest of the action this weekend. Neil, how are you getting on this evening?
I'm very well. Will, how are you doing?
Yeah, good. I mean, I'm really looking forward to this game in particular. It's mouthwatering, particularly to have the champions of England against the champions of the Pro 14, with Exeter having got over the line against Racing 92 to win their maiden European trophy. Leinster-Exeter played a few times in Europe, going back to, I think, Exeter's first European campaign back in 2012. But Exeter are an extremely different prospect compared to 9 years ago.
They are, and they're a very impressive club overall, just the way they have grown from, as you mentioned, like a first European campaign, the guts of a decade ago, to the point now where they've won a couple of Premiership titles and got over their kind of final European hurdle last year, winning the title. But it is, I suppose, the only real pity is that this is a quarterfinal match. And, you know, it is arguably two of the best teams in Europe. It is perfectly capable of being a final in and of its own right, which is, I suppose, a little bit disappointing. You might want the stakes to be a bit grander, but it's probably the way the tournament has developed, where they've had to have this kind of last 16 into an open draw knockout stage. And I suppose there's the anomaly that Leinster are in a quarterfinal, having played two matches. Exeter, if they win this weekend, will be in a semi-final, having played every single game from home. So it's the way the tournament has gone this year that it's thrown up a few interesting things. But I think on paper anyway, it is the game of the weekend, even I'd say ahead of, you know, Toulouse against Clermont, which is going to be fantastic as well. But I suppose Leinster fans will be pretty pleased, and I'm sure the players were a bit relieved as well, the fact that they ended up having a week off last week after a long Six Nations period for some of those players, and to then go in and have a cup final literally the week after the Six Nations had finished, with the game against Munster in the Pro 14 final. To be able to have a rest week last week was probably hugely important, and I think that could be absolutely massive come 5:30 tomorrow evening.
Yeah, Rory O'Loughlin was pretty open about that this week, Neil. He was saying they were very thankful to have the time off, because Leinster coming into this with some key injuries. You know, James Ryan, Gary Ringrose out currently. I think they've got 12 players on the injury list in all. They would probably have been very thankful not to have to play three extremely intense weeks game after game, considering the amount of Leinster frontline players that would have played against England in the last round of the Six Nations as well.
Yeah, it is hugely, and even to touch on those injuries, I think it was something I was thinking of last week ahead of the game that was meant to be on against Toulon, when I was doing my commentary notes and looking at the back row they had picked, which was for the second week in a row from the Pro 14 final as well, which was Josh van der Fleer, Reese Ruddock and Jack Conan. And given the injuries they have had, it is arguable, you could absolutely make the case that it is a second choice back row for them. They're missing Caelan Darris, they're missing Dan Levy, they're missing Max Deegan on top of it as well. Will Connors is out for the next spoil as well. Like, they're missing a series of international players in the back row, and they're able to put out what is three experienced Irish internationals across the back row as well. It's a shame for Ryan Baird, I suppose, that he's the one that's dropped out from the team that had been picked to take on Toulouse last week. I think he would have been really, really looking forward to getting a big European game under his belt. He was man of the match in the pool stage against Montpellier. But I suppose having the experience of Scott Fardy coming in is huge as well. But even on paper, as you mentioned, with all those injuries, it is still a pretty formidable and pretty experienced and well-rounded Leinster team. Even someone like Rory O'Loughlin, who hadn't been getting too much big game time over the course of the last couple of seasons, he's stepped up in recent weeks as well, and he's been in some good form. I think probably looking at the balance of those two 15s, if Leinster can get that little bit of parity in the forwards, or if they can just get parity in the forwards, I think if they can just hold off Exeter's front five. I think they probably do have enough in the back line to get the job done. But as I say, holding off Exeter's front five, that is a that's a tough prospect.
Yeah, because like, trying to stop that intimidating Exeter pack when they got going, like even when they made a poor start last week, their forwards were able to provide plenty of platform for them to get ball in the second half when they opened up a bit. Is that partly why you think Leo Cullen has named his team with Scott Fardy to start here? Because, you know, Fardy and Toner, combined age of 70 in that second row, Ryan Baird has been in really good form, but he's gone for the two experienced heads here now.
Yeah, I think it probably is a game that calls for a bit more experience. Like Exeter, the key for Leinster, I suppose, is going to be keeping Exeter at arm's length, literally on the pitch, that pushing them back out in that middle third of the pitch and not allowing them into the 22. It's going to be a game that I think territory and possession are going to be hugely, hugely important. I don't know, am I spoiling, you know, spoiling the commentary of coming up, but I don't necessarily think it's going to be like an absolute classic of a game. It's not going to be Toulouse against Munster that we had last week, which was 40-33, tries going in left, right and centre and some incredible attacking rugby. I think it's going to be much more tactical, much more physical, much more about winning collisions, getting over the gain line and keeping your opponents off the ball, because there probably isn't a better team in Europe than Exeter at converting chances when they get into the 22. They're absolutely lethal. If you look back over the last couple of years, and even just taking last week's game, last week's last 16 win as an example against Leon, when they did get into the 22, pretty much all of their tries were just coming from scrums, mauls, getting a good platform close to the try line. And when they get within 5 metres out, their pick and go game is second to none, because they've got huge ball carriers, the likes of Johnny Hill, Johnny Gray, Luke Cowan-Dickey, such a brilliant low centre of gravity, makes them so difficult to stop close to the line as well. And then Sam Simmons, who is the top try scorer across every single division in Europe at the moment. He is absolutely outstanding, and I'm really looking forward to seeing him in particular as well, just to get a closer look at him, because he's someone who was being spoken about so much in England over the course of the Six Nations about how he was being overlooked by Eddie Jones. And he's been so, so consistent for England, for Exeter over the last couple of seasons. And he's so, so dangerous when they get close to the try line.
Yeah, Niamh Briggs was pointing that out on Off the Ball this week too. She was saying it seemed remarkable that he wasn't there as, you know, an X-factor style player for England during the Six Nations, when he could have added something very different to them. And she was pointing out that during the Leon match particularly, he was just popping up in interesting attacking areas. He runs very good lines and he offers them a lot in attack.
He does, yeah. And I think it's something across Exeter over the last few years that's probably helped them, is that I think certainly, given where they have been in the Premiership table over the course of the last 5-6 years consistently, they definitely have been overlooked a little bit when it's come to national selection. I think it's probably helped with the bit of a chip on the shoulder, the kind of chip on the shoulder mentality that they've been able to carry over the last couple of years. His younger brother, Joe, as well, for an example, is going to be captaining the team tomorrow. Joe Simmons at out half. He's another player who just has not been able to get a sniff of action with England, even though his performances over the last couple of years have been incredibly consistent, and on big occasions as well, like Premiership finals, Championship Cup finals, getting them over the line. And then a couple of their props, like Ben Moon and Harry Williams, who've been in and out of the squad, over the England squad over the course of the last few years. So I think that lack of international recognition has always kind of just helped with their chip on the shoulder and helped with their attitude. And I think even the fact as well that they're down in Exeter, down in the southwest of the country, they're almost kind of annexed off from the rest of England. There's almost like an island mentality about the way they approach their games. It'll be a pity that there's no fans in the stadium tomorrow. As we're saying pretty much every week, I was lucky enough, I went to a game down at Sandy Park a couple of years ago in the Champions Cup, and it's a brilliant little ground, brilliant little atmosphere that they generate. It's a real rugby community of a town, and it's going to be a pity that there isn't going to be a proper atmosphere, although I'm sure Leinster might be a little bit pleased about that.
Yeah, like, how difficult a task is this, Neil? Because I know Neil Francis was writing this week about how this would rank up with, you know, anything any of the Irish provinces have done if they were to come away from Sandy Park with a victory tomorrow evening. Like, Exeter have won their last 11 games in this competition. They've won their last 8 at home. That's an intimidating record. But would it be up there with some of the Irish provinces going to the south of France in the real pomp of the top 14 and winning?
I wouldn't have that bar up there. Like, I think that there needs to be a bit of reality here in the fact that Leinster are currently one of the best teams in Europe. You would certainly pick them in the top three or four teams at the moment. I know Neil Francis yesterday was comparing it to Munster beating Gloucester in the miracle match back in 2003 when they needed to win with a bonus point and beat Gloucester by whatever it was, 28 odd points. I mean, like, it's nowhere near that. Gloucester were a superstar team at the time. Munster were not. But, like, there probably needs to be a bit of realism with the fact that Leinster are officially favourites to win the game. It's just that it is going to be a difficult assignment. It's that Exeter are a team that are certainly capable of beating Leinster, and they're just going to have to be incredibly screwed on. I wouldn't, if Leinster were to win, I wouldn't have it as, you know, right up there with any of the big victories. I probably wouldn't even have it up there with, you know, Munster coming from behind and beating Claremont back in December, because, you know, those things just don't happen. I think, though, that Leinster are going to have to be at their best to win against Exeter tomorrow. Certainly don't get me wrong there. It's certainly not a case of, you know, they just have to show up and go through the motions and they'll get their victory. They absolutely have to be at their best. But I think probably at this stage of the competition as well, given the way they've had a rest last week as well, things are probably lining up a little bit nicer in favour of them. And even just with a couple of injuries, like Exeter still without Jack Noel as well tomorrow. I know it's only one player. That's a pretty important difference as well, I think.
Rugby here on Off the Ball is with thanks to Vodafone, who are official sponsors of the Irish rugby team. Team of us, everyone in. The thing I wonder about this as well, Neil, I mean, obviously the conversations have happened during the week on this too, but you can't but see a trend in how the Pro 14 teams did in Europe last week. We'll talk about Ulster in a moment and their chances of winning the Challenge Cup, but it was not a good weekend last weekend for the Pro 14 teams.
No, definitely wasn't. And I think even more so, it probably showed up the way this season has gone in the Pro 14, insofar as with Leinster and Munster pretty much pulling away at the top of their conferences so early on, there wasn't a huge amount at stake over the last few weekends. And you could see it in the likes of Edinburgh and the likes of the performance of the Scarlets, that they kind of just looked like teams that weren't particularly fresh, that hadn't played too much top level rugby over the last while. And I think it's probably the way the Pro 14 season developed, that it certainly looked like they, you know, things had caught up on them. The Premiership and the top 14 teams certainly looked a lot sharper. They looked a lot more ready for top level rugby. And yeah, it was a pretty sobering weekend for the Pro 14 last week. The sooner the Rainbow Cup gets underway and we get into next season of, you know, a proper competition with some better teams in it, I think ultimately it's going to make everyone better.
And
it has to.
I was going to say, legitimately though, for Leinster, if they were to lose at Sandy Park tomorrow evening, the Pro 14 and the strength of it is not really an excuse. This is a case of them going out and trying to win a one-off game in Europe. Like, nobody complained when Leinster won the Heineken Cup 3 years ago and Leinster were waltzing through the Pro 14 that season. So it tends to be something that's used in terms of Leinster's dominance of the competition only when they lose. When they win, it doesn't seem to matter.
Yeah, I think, to be honest, it's actually kind of, it's used as an excuse when they win and they lose. I think in the past we've seen it when the Irish sides were doing really, like, consistently doing well in Europe. The excuse was, well, the Irish sides are doing so well because the Pro 14 isn't that strong and they can, you know, rest their players so often. They can have their big Irish internationals sharper for the bigger games because they can kind of fine-tune their minutes and stuff like that. And then the flip side is when the Irish sides maybe lose a little bit earlier in the competition, it's because the Pro 14 isn't a strong competition and their players aren't getting a great enough challenge. So I think it just is one of those arguments that is actually just going to be used to knock them, whatever the outcome, I think is probably what ends up happening a lot.
Well, we'll talk Challenge Cup in a moment, but you saw Toulouse against Munster last week and their dynamic and incredible halfback pairing, particularly of Anton Dupont and Entomac, again making a huge difference as that game got stretched in the second half. You know, Toulouse have got a difficult quarterfinal again this weekend, and it's week on week, and no more so than those Irish players. They were coming off the disappointment of the Scotland result from the week before. Are Toulouse the next best team in the competition outside of the two teams we've been speaking about in Exeter and Leinster?
Toulouse or Racing, either or, I think. I am fully expecting it's going to be Toulouse, Racing 92, Toulouse, Racing, La Rochelle, and I'm just about saying Leinster in the semi-final draw on Sunday evening. But yeah, I would absolutely say that it is between Toulouse or Racing to be the next in line or the next best, but there isn't really much between the two of them. It was just a complete joy watching Toulouse last week. I have to say, as much as I wanted Munster to win that game, when Toulouse really got going in the second half, they were just absolutely outstanding. Just crucially, like, so many of their big players had really, really impressive games. DuPont had an up and down Six Nations, I think. He was outstanding last week again. Roman Entomac was brilliant. Munster peppered him with high balls. He was so comfortable under them. And the way he was just dictating play was a joy to watch as well. Then other guys, some of their forwards, their big, like, big buster forwards, like Cyril Bai, Julian Marchand was an absolute menace, both with the ball in hand and around the breakdown as well. He is absolutely incredible. Charlie Famina, even the veteran All Black, had a fantastic game. And they had the likes of Dorian Aldegheri being able to come off the bench, who made a huge impact. And it probably was those substitutes that Toulouse were able to bring on in the second half, particularly front five substitutes who really just had a lot more physicality than Munster. And Toulouse just started to win more and more of those collisions and get over the gain line a little bit more. And that just sucks the life out of a team. And it was just excellent management of the game, I think, by Toulouse last week, on top of the beautiful rugby we always associate with them that probably got them over the line last week. They were fantastic to watch. And I just hope we see more of them over next week and into the semi-finals, and who knows, maybe a final.
Yeah, well worth a watch this weekend if you get the chance too. In terms of the Challenge Cup, Ulster still carrying the Irish flag in this competition. Another English assignment for them with Northampton Saints this weekend. Ian Henderson once again misses out. He's still sidelined with that shoulder injury which he picked up against England at the Aviva a couple of weeks ago. But without that, Dan McFarlane stuck with the same starting 15 from last week, which should be no great surprise. They played very well last weekend. And I know you feel that Ulster can actually really push and win Europe's second European competition this year.
Yeah, I certainly do. And you can see it with the team sheets they're picking. You know, they're going all out for it. They're absolutely going to win this. And I can't remember which of the Ulster players it was at the start of the week in one of the press conferences. It's just skipping my mind, but I have the quote in my head. He was asked about winning this competition. He said, look, at the start of the season, we didn't really have winning a Challenge Cup at the top of our priority list. But, you know, that's the hand you're dealt. And I think for the way Dan McFarlane has built his side over the course of the last couple of years, they've grown bit by bit by bit to be able for them now to have the chance to actually go on. And look, I think they are still the bookmakers' favourites to actually win it now. Just about ahead of, I think, Montpellier and Leicester Tigers are probably next in line. But for them to be able to go and pick up some bit of silverware, I think with the stage of squad development that they're at, would be absolutely enormous for them. Because we saw how important it was for them less than 12 months ago to get to a Pro 14 final. And, you know, coming up short against Leinster, that was a big step for them. And I think with the way things have gone, ending up falling back so far behind Leinster at the end of the regular season in the Pro 14 this year would have been a huge disappointment. So to be able to get to a final and to be able to get your hands on some silverware, even if it's, you know, even if it's the Challenge Cup rather than the Heineken Champions Cup, it's still a huge, huge thing for the development of that squad. And I think they really have an excellent chance of doing so. I would be confident they should be beating Northampton this weekend. After that, it's all up to the semi-final draw. You kind of just have to wait and see, because we're not in the seeding stages as we normally would, where we haven't mapped out in front of us who is going to be playing who. That's probably the intrigue of it.
Well, look, I enjoy watching Ulster. I particularly like when Michael Lowry gets green space in front of him. We saw in the Pro 14 just a few weeks ago, Jacob Stockdale, you know, run from his own half in at the Millennium Stadium. And you've got Balakoon as a real mover within that back line too. And you've got plenty of good players to pull the strings. I mean, Ian Madigan has to be content with a place on the bench, such as the way the rest of their backs have been playing. Like, Ulster play nice attacking rugby. And also, as you say, they've been extremely consistent while just about missing out in semi-finals and finals in recent seasons. I am sure a piece of silverware will be a huge lift for everyone in Belfast.
Yeah, it absolutely would. And I think, even for someone like Marcel Coetzee, who's going to be leaving at the end of the season, getting a bit of silverware would be massive for him, for the contribution he's made over the course of the last few seasons. But they are a team that are absolutely going places, I think, regardless of what happens over the rest of this campaign. As you mentioned, like that back three in the backfield, Michael Lowry at fullback, Robert Balakoon and Jacob Stockdale. Balakoon is someone who, thankfully, hasn't taken a backward step since coming back from his long injury absence. I was... you know, I think you'd naturally be a little bit worried for someone when they're out for that long, but it's something like a bad hamstring injury at that stage of their career. But he's been absolutely brilliant. And they've got a lot of young players like that as well. James Hume has been a brilliant find over the last 12, 18 months as well. And they've made shrewd, astute signings, like bringing Ian Madigan and Albie Mathewson in the last 12 months as well. They're not superstar names, but they're the kind of guys who they mightn't be around for, you know, they won't be going away for international breaks. They're going to help you out throughout the course of the season. Bringing guys like Marty Moore and Jack McGrath, Geordie Murphy up from Dublin in recent years has been brilliant as well. And they have those younger guys as well then, like Tom O'Toole and like Eric O'Sullivan, who are probably going to be carrying them further on forward over the next few years. They're the long-term options. And then you just have old reliables. Someone like Alan O'Connor has been indestructible in the second round, is arguably one of the most arguably the most underrated player in Irish rugby at the moment, because he's doing it week in and week out for Leinster in the engine room at the second row, and probably isn't getting the credit that he deserves for doing so. So there's a lot to be excited about for Ulster fans at the moment, and as we said, for them to get their hands on a trophy and get that winning feeling would be a huge thing.
Right, give me a final prediction on the two games involving the Irish provinces then. Are Ulster going through at Franklin's Gardens firstly?
I think so, yeah. I'd be pretty confident about that one. I think Ulster by a couple of scores.
I don't think anyone can call Sandy Park tomorrow evening. You're going to be along with Johnny Murphy for commentary, special broadcast here on Off the Ball. It'll be live on News Talk 5:30 tomorrow evening. Come 7:30, Neil, who's getting ready for the semi-final draw? Is it going to be Exeter or Leinster?
I think just about Leinster. I'm saying Leinster by less than a try, so 5 or less. Oof. Maybe even 3 or less. Okay. It's going to be very close. I think it's going to be a very, very close game.
I've no doubt Neil's going to be entirely impartial on the commentary tomorrow, but that's a Munster man tipping Leinster to get to the semi-finals of the European Cup against the holders of the competition. Neil, thanks a million for joining us tonight to preview the game.
Thanks, Will.
That's Neil Tracy. We'll be on commentary with Johnny Murphy here on News Talk tomorrow on Off the Ball for a special broadcast of that mouth-watering quarter-final between the Exeter Chiefs and Leinster. Coming up after the break, we'll be going down Magnolia Lane for a very special crappy quiz based around the Masters.
Rugby on Off the Ball.
With Vodafone, official sponsors of the Irish rugby team. Team of us. Everyone in.
The OTB Podcast Network.